drink some more. I want to get drunk off my ass.
Hey, what's up, guys? This is Yellow Claw.
I'm Christian.
I'm Linus.
And we are Galantis.
Hey, this is Throttle.
Hey, this is Flume.
Hey, what's up? This is Phoebe Rexa.
Ready? 1, 2, 3.
Hey, this is Laidback Luke.
And this is
the Beats and Booze Podcast.
What's up? Welcome to another episode of Beats and Booze. I'm DJ Spirito, joined as always by Phillips.
What's up? We're a little naked this time.
We're a little naked. Dramos isn't
here. No Dramos this time.
He's got stuff to do. He's a busy guy.
He is a busy guy.
He's taking care of his beard, probably.
He might be hungover still from space.
Probably.
Which was a good night,
would not doubt it. He was
very good night.
He was lit.
He was. Lost everything.
He lost everything?
As always.
Oh, man. Oh, wait. Yeah.
He dropped his wallet, and then he lost his key. We went to... Where did we go?
We went to Marquee
for Eric Murillo, and then had to go back.
That's what I remember. I remember you guys leaving because he's like, "I think I left my car."
I think I blacked out when we walked into Marquee.
Yeah, I think so too.
I kind of sort of remember going back to space, and then I think when we after space we went to
was Cash still
the station,
on when you
I
went?
Think. Maybe. I know
we were in
to
there
Marquee
for like
a
minute. Yeah, like a minute.
It wasn't that long, I don't think. I don't remember what time we left.
I feel like all I know
is that the twins showed up.
Yep, the twins came out.
Which was surprising.
They're still on probation, though.
They are.
They're still on probation.
Speaking of probation, even though it has nothing to do with that. Did you hear about spinning records, apparently?
Yeah, they're, are they just, are
it's
they
two
fielding
major,
offers?
Yeah, it's two major labels.
Okay.
Sony Music and Warner Music Group are intention to buy spinning.
Really?
Which is actually pretty cool because, I mean, there are a few other labels that have bought small independent like dance labels.
Yeah.
I think
under the umbrella.
Atlantic with
Big Beat. Yep.
Somebody bought Ministry of Sound. I forgot who.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, it's worked out and it'll work out for the artist too.
Yeah.
And Spinning puts out like a shitload of fucking music.
But see,
so.
That's the thing. I think if they go under a major label reign, their output might be a little bit different because they might try and remodel it.
Yeah. I mean, less songs, but better, I guess.
Better quality. Yeah. I mean, I would hope so because Spinning, love.
They're like the source of how I get music, period.
Yeah, but some of their releases are just very generic these days.
And it's apparently valued, the company's valued at $100 million.
$100
million? Which is, I could see that.
Yeah.
I could definitely see that.
Okay. I mean, they have a lot of like 360 deals too. A lot of people don't realize. It's not only the releases, but they wrap these artists up for like touring and all this other shit.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I know Lucas and Steve, Sam Feld, they're pretty much all like an exclusively to Spinning.
Exactly, yeah. So,
but the dance world is retarded when it comes to labels anyway.
Yeah.
Because apparently you could be signed to one label and release 75 other songs on different labels.
Yeah, it's long. Yeah, I mean, it all depends. If the label doesn't want it, they're usually like, okay, go ahead, do it with somebody else.
Yeah, I don't know. It makes no sense to me. Speaking of making no sense, apparently...
You're just segueing the shit out of
it. I am.
Let's do it. Let's get into it.
This bitch is on fire. Let's talk about it. There's a New York-based marketing agency that wants to design some Adidas training shoes, but like based on the 808, you know, the drum effect
or whatever that machine is.
Yeah, it'll have Wi-Fi and Bluetooth capabilities.
In a sneaker.
In the sneaker.
All right. We're getting a little crazy.
A USB port.
What?
Speakers. Tempo control.
Who the fuck wants to walk around with beat machines on their feet?
And six programmed beat settings. I don't know what that means, but I'm assuming they're... You can produce while you're walking, I guess.
That's stupid.
I'd wear them. They're actually pretty nice.
Are they? Let me see.
They're the same color as the 808.
Oh, yeah. Look at that.
Actually, really nice. I'd rock them.
That's too much. That's crazy. What are you going to do with those? You can't get them wet.
True. That's a good point, actually. I never thought of that.
You step in a puddle, that's it. It's $400 shoes, whatever they cost, are shot.
Yeah, right now they're in prototype phase, so it's not a definite thing yet.
All
right,
well, all the sneakerheads out there, get ready. Get your hype machine, hype beast shit out. But
speaking of music from different places.
There it is.
There's another one. There's a tattoo shop in L.A. that has...
That stole my idea.
You could put waves on your arm, and then with an app, you could play the music back.
And waves, we mean wavelengths, not ocean waves.
Yeah. Well, you could do that too if you record the sound.
But that's not going to, wow.
It's actually pretty cool because you can put like
a
whole song on your arm. And
you could. That's a lot though.
With the free app, just, you know, do it.
And then just always have that song?
Not even that. That's like It's got to be a pain in the ass to actually get the wave correct so the sound comes out.
I would imagine so. You'd have to be pretty precise about it.
I mean, I saw the video or something. You could trace. They pretty much just trace it, I guess, on there.
Yeah, that's. I mean, most tattoos are that. You know, they get hand drawn, and you put the tracing ink, and then that's when they come up with.
I don't know. I'm not a big tattoo guy. I don't have a tattoo.
Well,
I mean,
that's it's my first tattoo that I wanted to get was that. It was a quote from someone that I wanted to put on my arm, and then now that we have this app, I'll always be able to listen to it.
You gonna do it?
Yeah.
Who's the quote from? Did you say? I wasn't even paying attention.
It's my mom.
I wasn't even paying attention while you were talking. So. It's your mom.
Yeah. You got to have a mom tat.
I got it. I get it. I mean, I would probably not do that. I mean, I don't.
You don't
know.
Like tattoos?
I just never had something that I wanted to get.
Right. Well, that's what I'm saying. That's what makes it. We're trying to think. All right. We'll have to.
Like,
we'll
if I had
to,
a kid.
There might be a few out there.
I would get her or him, like, you know, in baby talk, and maybe I'll put that on my arm.
Sure, sure.
I mean, that's a thought, but that's, I don't know, that's really it.
Man speak. Shout out to Capslap.
but that's really it. I mean, I don't think I would put anything else on there.
I feel like once you get one, though, that's it. Like, you kind of, like, open the box, and you're like, all right, I'll get another one.
Yeah, that's true. You know? I mean, my friend got one tattoo on his arm, and now he's
got,
back,
like, a sleeve.
His legs.
Yeah, that's the whole thing.
Both
you're like,
sleeves.
Oh, fuck it, you know?
So, I mean, I guess maybe that's true.
We're thinking about getting a tattoo while we're in Spain over the summer. We just haven't decided which yet.
But you and your boys?
Yeah, the homies. Yeah, I mean, it's probably going to be kind of a drunk decision. You know, we'll probably be pretty faded.
Oh, I see what you did. Well done.
Speaking of faded, let's get into our artist's first song. It's called Faded. Alan Walker will be on the show right after this.
You were the shadow to my light. Did you feel another star, you fade away. Afraid our aim is out of sight. Wanna see us alive. We'll be right back.
Hey, it's Ferry Corsten.
Hey, this is Gareth Emery.
Hey, this is Modi, and follow the show on Twitter and Instagram at Beats and Booze.
Let's get jacked up, damn.
All right, that was Faded by Alan Walker, and now we have the man himself here in the studio. Welcome, dude.
Hey, man. Thanks for having me.
Of course. God, that song is just tugs at my heartstrings every time I hear it.
It gets stuck in your head.
Yeah,
it really earworms you.
It really does, but it just makes you feel some kind of way. You know?
It's like, it gives you the feels.
It
gets
a little emotional. I don't know. I'm not suffering from a broken heart, but now I feel like I am. You know, it's the most amazing
thing. It's there
thing.
For you when you are.
Exactly. You know? I want to kind of just dive into that because a lot of your music like that just invokes so much emotion. It's very actually like cinematic.
It's
like a movie score.
Yeah. It definitely evokes some feelings. The feels.
Where did that kind of come from? Like that influence of? Because I mean, dance music normally, obviously there's different sectors of it, but your music especially is very just like more about vibes than it is about like raging, you know, or anything like that. Like, where did that kind of influence come from?
It's pretty much that, what I've been really enjoying when it comes to me listening to music and also creating music. When I always listen to music, I always liked the songs where it had something melodic.
Right.
And mm-hmm. I think that has also really influenced my sound today. And I think it's also really important for me to have that kind of influence in my songs as well and create something melancholic, because I think that's also giving the audience maybe a whole different, I don't know, feeling of
right.
the song.
Yeah, it's something to connect to, you know?
Yeah. The one thing about dance music a lot of times is you have to be in a certain kind of mood to listen to it. You know what
true.
I mean?
Yeah.
With, like, very traditional true. Dance music, you know? It's like, all right, I'm like going
to
get ready to go out.
Exactly.
I'm getting hyped, you know?
Club, you're trying to dance.
Yeah,
and
exactly.
And
but the cool thing about what you do is, like, this is like something when you're just like mellow, you're just, you know, chilling out, driving your car, mm-hmm. you can listen to it, which is interesting. On the flip side of that, though, I haven't had the chance to see you live. I'm curious, what are your live shows like then? Because obviously this is very, like, relaxed, very cool, chill. What do you do for a live show?
When it comes to my live shows, I really want people to have a crazy party as well.
Right.
I'm really trying to have a very unique combination of tracks, I would say, because I mean, what I've been doing is that I'm starting off the set with 130 BPM.
Right.
And then...
Oh, wow. Starting high.
Starting really high.
Yeah.
And then after maybe 10 minutes, I would say, then I go down to 88 BPM, and then I start with my slower remixes and slower tracks, and then slowly build up again, and then go back to 130, and then just continue it, because I feel like that will give the audience a very different experience, because it won't be constantly 130, and they get a break, I would say, and I would say it's just outstanding, or a quite different way to have a show.
It's cool. It's a journey, basically.
Exactly. You're taking them on like a
riding
trip,
a wave.
You know?
Yeah. Exactly. I mean, you're young. What are you, 19, right?
Yeah, I'm 19 now.
Just fucking crazy.
Crazy.
God.
To be 19.
To be 19 and actually be talented.
And actually be talented.
Yeah. But you see, this is a funny thing. You can't actually drink here in the States, though, when you tour.
True.
No,
legally. Legally, anyway.
Yeah. Legally.
What happens then in the clubs? Like, do you have to like wait basically right before your set to go in? Or are you like being escorted around by bouncers to make sure you're not doing anything you're not supposed to?
I'm pretty much being escorted around, but when it comes to casinos and stuff, then it's more like strict about where I am, what I'm doing, and they're more aware of where I am, I would say, and they're very strict about what's around me.
Yeah,
and,
sure.
I'm pretty sure maybe you guys have seen the article about Martin Garrix when he was playing in Vegas, for example. Because being underage, that means like...
Yeah, you can't do shit over here.
Yeah,
it sucks.
Well, it's a huge liability for the club.
Exactly.
But it's got to be ironic because in Europe, you're able to drink, you know? Like,
yeah, that's correct.
When we were in Amsterdam, there was like 16-year-old kids at the
literally
bar.
Everywhere else. Yeah. Canada, you can drink. Mexico, you can drink. But just right in the States, you can't drink.
Was that, I mean, I don't know what your preference is, but was that a weird adjustment coming over here? Like, that people were so strict on it?
I think the question is, were you pissed off about it? Like, what are you talking about? I can't have a fucking drink.
Exactly.
A glass of wine, you're really gonna try and stop me?
No, really. Like, the only thing that's been really irritating me was that when I was in LA, I was gonna go out and play bowling,
right.
And then I had started this alcohol serving, and then I couldn't come in just throw a ball.
Oh my god,
what a pain!
Let you bowl,
yeah,
that's fucked up.
That's so stupid. God,
it's
I hate
so
that
dumb.
Rule.
You don't
here.
Even think, like, I wouldn't even have thought of things like that. Like, there's probably a bowling alley out there you can't
yeah,
get
right.
into.
Yeah. Yeah, sure.
We're so old at this point that it's just.
God, I don't want to talk about it.
God, those years.
I remember having just to go to Pasha because it was the only place you can get into right. at 19 years old yeah. on Friday nights. But
well, Webster Hall, too, 19, you can
yeah,
get in.
Yeah, true.
Cool.
Webster. True. You'll be amongst peers.
Yeah, yeah. Which is good.
So I can actually be there illegally.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, so I won't be thrown out. Thrown
yeah.
out.
No, nobody's going to be Hawkeye the whole time. You'll be able to hang out, which is good. So, I mean, God, you're only 19, so this has got to be so new for you. I'm sure, you know, you're pretty much just out of high school a couple of years ago for you know, most of us here. How did you get started in actually making music? Because I remember, I think I read that you were more into, like, graphic design and stuff like that growing up.
Yeah, growing up, I was very interested in, for example, programming and right. graphic design. And it was in 2012 when I discovered making music. I just commented on a video of mm-hmm. an underground producer from Spain and asked him, how do you make music?
Yeah.
And so what he did was that he replied to my comment and told me like that he was using a program known as Fruity Loop Studio.
Right.
And so we got in touch on YouTube, actually, through YouTube messages wow. and later on Facebook. And that's pretty much how everything started. Like, we got in touch and he started teaching me the basics. He told me to watch YouTube tutorials. Uh-huh. And that was what I've been doing a lot, actually. And in 2014, I released my song Fade.
Yeah.
And I got to sign that one with No Corporate Sons, which is a internet record label that's dedicated to releasing free music among gamers,
right,
and
right.
et cetera. And in 2015, I got in touch with my management, Nair, and we discussed, like, what if we make a new version of Fade just with vocals?
Right. Sure.
So we did that. We got Isley and Solheim in the studio and recorded the vocals, and she just absolutely nailed
it. Yeah, her vocals are incredible amazing. On that track.
Yeah, and we got to sign a song with Sony Music in Sweden, and since then, it's been a crazy journey. We also followed up with Fade, after Faded, with Sing Me to Sleep.
Yep.
That was also sung by Isley and Solheim. And then we follow up with Alone Again. And right. that one was sung by Nuni Bao.
It's crazy. I mean,
I love Nuni Bao. She's great.
Yeah. The vocals on all these songs are amazing. Yeah. But Fade, we keep coming back to, but the song was just so gigantic.
Like, I mean, it just exploded out of nowhere.
Right, right.
All of a sudden, it was on every single chart, like across the board.
Mm-hmm. How can you talk somebody through it? Like, how quickly your life changed when
was
that track?
Was it, like, what do you think blew it up, really?
Yeah.
Because it was it because of the gamer community that you think it kind of, like, started that seed?
I would say they had definitely something to do with the spark
yeah.
of
yeah.
it.
Mm-hmm.
Because I already had Fade
right.
already out,
like,
in the
in
gaming
there.
Community. Mm-hmm. And I'm pretty sure, like, many people have seen a video on Facebook, maybe, where that song has maybe been included as well.
Yeah.
Like, there's been so many people that's been commenting and saying, like, oh, yeah, this is the song that's been overused on Facebook or YouTube or whatever.
Right.
And, well, all of that actually leads up to one thing, and that's good promo for
sure.
me,
yeah.
For my songs.
Absolutely.
And what's that also been causing? I think that's also been made people remember Fade.
Right.
And when Fade came, mm-hmm. they were like, oh, I've heard this before.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it sounded familiar.
Maybe people didn't know that Alan Walker was the producer behind it.
Right.
They only knew the name, maybe, or just the song.
Right. Yeah.
Which is, God.
That's crazy.
And I hate to keep harping on the 19 thing, but God, at 19, I was in like.
I was just going through a midlife crisis.
Yeah, it's fucking. At 19, I was like at a friend's shitty college apartment,
yeah.
like throwing up in his bathroom, probably. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like, so for you, like, how it's changed, I mean, obviously, a lot of your friends from home are probably doing that normal college life or, you know, like working shitty jobs, like the jobs we've all done when we were growing up, and you're getting to travel the world and make music and do all these crazy things. How have you kind of adjusted, and what's, like, the biggest change you've had to kind of deal with?
I had to leave school.
Really?
I was pretty much, my main goal was to actually finish school.
Right.
But,
was this high school?
Yeah, it's okay. High school. Okay. Pretty much what happened was that I was trying to work as much as I could on music,
right, right.
the music side, and also on school side. As I worked with music, that took the night sleep.
Yeah.
And when I tried to combine it with school, then it just collided because I would sleep on the day.
Right.
Because yeah. I work in the studio at night. And
right.
It wasn't a good combination. So both of them crashed, but I wasn't in touch with the head of the school and my parents and also other friends of mine. We just kept on discussing, like, should I quit school or
right.
to focus on music, or should I just maybe take a break from music and focus on finishing school?
Right, just finish school, right.
So it was kind of like a 50-50 decision that I had to make. And,
that's tough.
And also what I decided was to just wait a little bit and work a little bit more with school. But as Fader continued growing, everything just got harder and harder for me to focus on both. And
what was that like in school then?
Yeah,
like,
how do you concentrate like when the teacher's on the board trying to teach you like trigonometry?
No, or like if you're like your song is blowing up on like everybody's Spotify playlist and like your classmate is sitting next to you like
listening to your song.
Yeah,
like,
exactly.
Hooking up with every girl possible.
There it is. There's Flips.
There it is.
Just running through.
I mean, to be completely honest, that's exactly what I would have done. I would have done the same exact thing. That like that one cheerleader type in high school that you've always wanted. Like, yeah. I totally go after her.
Oh my God. We're turning this into like a Lifetime teenage football movie. Right now,
yeah. Well, your parents are like they were very supportive. Then obviously,
they've been
you...
very supportive among That's my awesome. Decisions when it comes to school and make or and working with music. They were the one that has been supporting me since the very beginning, and they still are. And they're supporting pretty much every decision that I take, and they're always the ones that I ask for support advice, and tips.
No, that's awesome. Shout out to your parents.
Yeah. my mom would have been like, shut the hell up.
Yeah. My mom would have taken away my computer.
Get your ass to school. Yeah. Go to bed. Thanks, Bob.
So we're going to get into your track alone, but before that, though, I want to talk about your, you wear a mask, like you hide your identity. What made you want to go that route when it came to your brand?
Back in the time when we were discussing, actually before the release of Faded, it was when me, my team, my management, and Sony pretty much, we discussed like how should we put Alan Walker out in the social media and pretty much the media world itself. And then we put together my ideas, my interests throughout the years. And that's been pretty much graphic design, programming, and kind of like just mysterious things. Already on my social media, so like I was already kind of mysterious. But it wasn't necessarily because I wanted to remain private or just hide my face, but it was more like giving the artist of Alan Walker, like a very, like a mysterious symbol.
Right.
And it's just about putting on a mask and a hoodie, and it gives people a very unique view, I would say, like, because it makes people so curious, like who's really the person behind the mask.
Uh-huh. It adds an element of like pageantry almost to it. You know, makes
pageantry,
it, right?
Wow.
You like that?
This guy over here.
No, but yeah, it makes it like gives some theatrics to it, which I think is very relevant.
It gives a new persona just to the name itself,
exactly,
like the brand,
exactly. Because I think it's easy to get lost in the shuffle of many DJs, so many producers, you know, and. You know, I'm not like talking shit on anybody, but a lot of people, there's this way you dress, there's a way people look, you know what I mean? With a lot of DJs.
Well, it's all part of the scene, brand.
You know? It's a scene, you know, when things like that happen, you're going to have, there's a kind of a uniform to the scene. So it's definitely cool. It's smart of you. I mean, to think in terms of branding, there has to be something you have to create outside of the music that people can attach themselves to that's unique to you as well, which is genius. But we're going to get into your track Alone. Do you kind of want to tell us anything about how you came up with this one?
Alone was actually produced with me and my co-producers and also co-writers and also written with Nune Bow. And all of this went down pretty much on a sunny day in Oslo in Norway.
Nice.
And I think it's the quickest idea we've ever had.
Wow. Really?
And Nune Bow had this brilliant idea on her mind, and pretty much the lyrics and the melody. Like, she just sung the lyrics, and we started writing everything. And as the song started to come together, I managed to finally come up with a drop, which was the main key to the whole song, I would say. And I think with Nune Bow's vocal and lyrics, it was just...
How did you guys link up? Because I love Nune Bow.
And Nune Bow, I'm not 100% sure how we ended up, but I think it was pretty much that we wanted to have a studio session together.
Sure.
Like, we've been setting up writing sessions lately and with different people, and I think it was really cool.
That's dope, yeah.
Cool. Yeah, it's beautiful.
Well, let's get into it.
Yeah, let's get
it.
This is Alan Walker with Alone on Beats and Booze.
Lost in your mind, I wanna know, am I losing my mind? Never let me go. If this night is not forever, at least we are together. I know I'm not alone. I know I'm not alone. Anywhere, whenever, apart but still together. I know I'm not. We'll be right back.
That was Alone by Alan Walker here on the Beats and Booze podcast. That video is pretty dope. How did you come about? Like, where was the idea for that one?
The idea actually came from the original directors of Faded and Singing to Sleep.
Right.
And they had this idea where we could kind of like connect the already music videos. Like, for example, in Faded, you had one person in the music video. And
yeah.
In Singing to Sleep, you had three. And in Alone, the main idea was that only walkers would finally gather together, and just walkers from all over the world. And
yeah, it's cool that they're all connected like that.
And it's that's what we wanted to do. Like, with all the songs, we wanted to create a trilogy, and also mm-hmm. with his music videos. So I think we actually managed to do that. And the ones that came up with the idea sure. for the music video is a company known as Bro Bro from Sweden. And they have been doing all the music videos so far, like Faded,
right.
Faded Really Strong, Singing to Sleep, and Alone. And it's just been really, really brilliant.
Yeah, I mean, the video like the itself, just like the cinematography of it all, like, is awesome. They do great work. And it's cool that there's like a ongoing idea. It's nice when videos actually have like a purpose and right. like a story behind it.
Yeah,
and
true.
It's not just like people skateboarding.
In a club.
Yeah, yeah. Like the DJ doing this, and like, that's the whole video. So that's really cool. But
actually,
yeah.
before we get into this question, I just want to touch on the mask over time.
Okay, yeah, let's do it.
So obviously, it's cool because you can kind of dip in and out of places and people sure. won't bother you, right? But there's got to be a point where, like, certain times where it's annoying that you feel like, that you have to like run and put the mask on or something. Maybe somebody, like, you know, somebody's gonna run into you.
Feel like Mr. Robot a little
bit. Yeah. Is there an annoying thing that comes along?
There's gotta be like some summertime festival where it gets so hot that you just want
to
kill someone.
It gets really warm at times, I guarantee you. Yeah. I have one experience from Vietnam, and I think it was 35 degrees Celsius.
Oh, I'm
not sure how hot that is.
Yeah, it's pretty hot.
Fahrenheit.
Yeah.
But I would say it almost killed me. Like, I had barely slept before the show.
Yeah.
Hadn't eaten. And it was.
That's the perfect
warm.
Storm. That's yeah. a perfect storm for a panic attack or a pass out.
Anywhere you've
all been there.
Yeah.
Oh, man. All right. So. We have a segment on the show here where the previous guest leaves a question for our current guest. So,
okay.
Yeah.
The last dudes that were on here are absolutely hilarious. Peking Duck, you yeah. familiar with them? Those two crazy Aussies. They left you a pretty funny question.
No, I'm really curious.
Yeah, there's like no way to really get around it, but what's your favorite Shakira song? And why, in three words or less?
Shakira. I have no idea.
Are you a fan at all of hers?
It's a long time since the last time I right? listened to her music.
That's probably the right answer, though.
She's sleeping for a while.
Yeah. But this is like a trick question, because if you're able to come right out with it and be like, whenever, forever, they're like, what a fucking loser. He listens to Shakira.
Whatever, forever.
I work at the fucking radio station. I mean, we played that fucking once a week probably here.
All right. Okay. Yeah. Oh, man, that's funny.
So, so now you have to leave a question for our next guest, which is Xenia Gali. She's a female DJ producer from Greece. So it could be literally anything. You could take a second to think about it.
It could be funny. It could be producer-based.
Yeah, whatever you want it to be.
I guess I would maybe ask, which producer or artist would you maybe like to collaborate with the most?
I like it. That's cool. Classic. What about
that's a
you?
Great question.
Well, you got to answer it now. Who's your dream collaboration?
If I had to pick a producer, I would maybe pick either Kygo or Martin Garrix, because
nice.
I think it could be a pretty cool combination.
Sure. Right. Yeah.
And vocalist wise, I would maybe pick, if it was were to pick a woman, I would maybe say either Adele, Ellie Goulding, or Zara Larsson.
Oof. Nice.
Oh, I love Zara Larsson.
You did some of Zara Larsson, didn't you?
I love me some.
Yeah,
Zara
we performed together in Berlin last year. No, in 2016.
Nice.
At Echo Awards.
Are you dropping a hint that maybe there's something coming? Was that a little hint?
Was that your little special way?
Yeah, maybe a little collab might be coming?
I don't know. Well, I would definitely hope so.
Yeah. Zara, if you're listening.
Yeah. She was just here a couple weeks ago, actually.
Was she really?
Yeah, she was.
Where the hell was I?
And you're slacking.
Fuck.
No, she is awesome. And God, aren't you and Martin on the same label, I think, right? Sony RCA?
Yeah,
I listen.
That could happen.
Yeah,
we could set that
put
up.
Put it out there. It's
come
the
on,
universe,
guys.
Right? I would love to hear that. Or I'd love to hear you and Kygo. I think that'd be a cool one.
Yeah, that would be cool.
Yeah, me and Kygo are also from the same hometown. So
really?
No shit.
Wow.
That's nice.
That's pretty neat.
Yeah, that's cool. I'm loving that. Selena Gomez and.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, that's it. Yeah, no, so I'm thinking, what the fuck's the Kygo one?
Oh,
Kygo. It is Kygo and Cena Gomez, you dummy. You got me confused.
It ain't me.
Yeah, It Ain't Me is awesome. I love that song.
It's a good song.
Yeah,
good.
I can definitely see you guys doing some cool stuff, but we're not interviewing Kygo, so stop talking about Kygo. No, dude, thank you so much for taking time to join us, man. You've been awesome. I'm loving what you're doing right now, and just keep it up, man. Everything's really cool. I love how you've created this larger-than-life thing with your music and the visuals and everything like that. I respect the hell out of it. I think it's amazing, and definitely keep up with
that. And when
you're
21, you can come back here and shit's going to pop off.
Yeah. We'll have alcohol for you.
Yeah.
Or we'll have to come party in Europe.
We could do that too. We'll come to Norway and just party with you.
the next time you're on the podcast, we'll get pretty shitty.
The podcast?
Yeah. I've been up for a while. It's fine.
Dude, plug your socials. Where can people find more stuff about you? Like, where are you most active?
What did we say?
Yeah, your social media, or you have a website that you post a lot of stuff on. Where are you most active? That people can find you.
Where I'm mostly communicating with my fans and followers is pretty much mostly on my Snapchat, because I have it public. I try to respond to people as much as possible. And my Snapchat is Alan Walker Music, and feel free to send me a message.
I'm gonna send you a message right now.
Yeah.
What's the weirdest Snapchat you ever got? I had to ask. Yeah. He's a big Snapchatter.
As of group chats got introduced,
right. Shit. Are you in random people's group chats?
No. Only friends can add me. So, of course, have the closest friend group, all the guys.
Right.
And of course, when there's a group chat with a lot of guys, then things can get weird.
It gets really bro.
It's a little bro.
You should see our group chat.
That makes no sense.
It's not great.
It's not a good one.
It's not good.
We can do better, actually.
I don't know half the shit we talk about. Chime in when there's 30 messages ready.
But dude, thanks again, man, for joining us. We really do appreciate it. You can catch me at DJ Dramo Spirito.
At DJ Spirito on Snap and Insta for behind the scenes stuff. Flips.
At Radio Flips, and we're at Beats and Booze also.
Yes, make sure you subscribe to us on iTunes and check us out on the iHeartRadio app. And shout out to our sponsors, digitalmusicpool.com and Kavada Vodka. So next time, see you.
That was so incredibly lame.
The Beats and Booze Podcast.